Well, God morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. This is a ministry that declares the works of God, not the doctrines of men. We have been going through now for 3 weeks several promises of God, wherein God is showing that he not only made, but sees a difference between the house of Judah and the house of Israel. And if one does not understand the difference, one cannot possibly interpret Revelation or prophecy, the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah, the book of Hosea. You cannot understand what God is saying. And so we have been going through several promises, and we have many more, and we will continue. I hope I have you, your attention, and somewhat thoroughly confused, because we have not presented these promises in the full context of history. Now, the Bible is true, and the Bible gives a true history, but it does not give all the history of the manifestations of the promises of God to his people. And the promises are separated. We several or a couple messages ago gave you that key verse from the first from the fifth chapter of First Chronicles. Verse 1 says, "Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. But Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler. But the birthright was Joseph's." That birthright, that's the promises made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, whom God changed his name to Israel. You need to read from the book of Genesis, and Genesis is a book of beginnings, wherein Israel, when blessing his sons, blessed all the sons, and in that blessing he said of Judah, from which the name Jew comes. And by the way, we don't encounter that word Jew until we get to the first book of Kings, when war broke out between the house of Judah and the house of Israel. Now, I'm going to try today, and you got to stay with me. You got to stay for the whole message. If we don't have time on shortwave, you can go to thegodschool.com and listen to this message. It will be entitled Part 4 of the Faithfulness of God that Can Be Seen. Why do we say that? Well, you know, let's just give you an example. In the 14th chapter of the book of John, Jesus tells his disciples, you know, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I'd tell you, I go away and will come again and receive you unto myself. Well, you know, that hasn't happened. We have that hope that we will be with Jesus in eternity. And there are multitude of promises that are going to take place in eternity. And God does have an eternal plan for the lives of those he has chosen for himself in Christ, but they're going to be manifested in eternity. Well, what about now? Gee, God, I don't see your promises of healing. I don't see your promises of provision. I don't see your promises of peace. Therefore, you know, maybe God, you're not God. Well, God is God, and God is faithful, and he has given a record that can be seen, so that the things that are not seen is received by faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. God has eternity in mind, but he has given a record of his faithfulness that, in spite of circumstance that might deny many of the promises we have hope for that God has made unto us, that we can endure the circumstance knowing that God is faithful. Now, I'm going to go through these promises today pretty quickly. Open your Bibles to the second chapter of the book of Hosea. And right in there, I'm taking my time so you have time to get there. Promise 21c. Hosea 2:1. Say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. That means, say unto your brethren, Ami. I want to quote this right, so just hang in here with me. That is, my people, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, that is, having obtained mercy. Now, God prophesied in the first chapter to call these people Lo-Ami and Lo-Ruhama. That means not my people, and that means not having obtained mercy. Or Lo-Ami means not being known as my name. And he's a prophet to Israel. And what God is saying is, of the house of Israel, they're not going to be known by his name anymore. And they're not going to be known as having his mercy anymore. Second verse says, plead with your mother, plead, for she's not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. (clears throat) 21e. So God's talking about an unfaithful wife, describing the house of Israel. And what does a husband do with an unfaithful wife? He puts her away. He gives her a bill of divorcement. Now go to Isaiah 50, verse 1, wherein it says, thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourself, and for your transgression is your mother put away. But 22, that's 21e, 21F is the fifth verse of that same 54th chapter of Isaiah. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. Sixth verse says, for the Lord has called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. And a wife of youth, when thou was refused, saith thy God. Seventh verse, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Let's go and look at promise number 22. Go to the book of Jeremiah, first chapter. Now, granted, I'm not going through every verse. You know, those that teach the Bible verse by verse, here a little, there a little, verse by verse, they make a mistake. They don't get the whole picture of what God is showing us of himself, that he is faithful and does what he says. And in Jeremiah 1:10, it says, see, God speaking to Jeremiah, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to plant and to build. Now, what nations is he talking about to Jeremiah? He's talking about the nations of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah. And God essentially has appointed Jeremiah to be the trustee over these bankrupt nations, Israel and Judah. And for what purpose? He says to root out and pull down and to destroy and to throw down. And we have the record of God's word where Jeremiah did this. But he also says to build and to plant. Go to the third chapter of Jeremiah. Write in your Bibles 22a, 7th verse. And I said, after she has done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when, for all the causes where backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. 12th verse of that same third chapter of Jeremiah says, go and proclaim these words toward the north. That's Israel. Return thou, backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep my anger forever. 14th verse says, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family and bring you to Zion. 15th verse says, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding with all humility. That's what the God school is designed to do, which is the purpose of the God school, to feed you with knowledge and understanding. I guarantee you, there is not one in 100 that have ever heard a message like this in all the Christian church. We're trying to do this. 16th verse says, and it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall no more say the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. God's describing the house of Israel here. He says of them, they're not going to be known as his name. He says of them, they're not going to be known as having his mercy. He says unto them, they're not going to speak of the Ark of the Covenant. They're not going to remember it. They're not going to visit it. They're not going to, these things aren't going to be done anymore. And yet, in that 10th verse of the first chapter of Hosea, it says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which is a promise God made to Abraham, to Isaac, to their wives, to Jacob, shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered, and it shall come to pass that in that place, where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. And just to put another nail in this argument, the 11th verse says, then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together. Does God see them as one people or two? He sees them as two. Now, we've been in Jeremiah. And I'm going to give you a little mystery, like that mystery found in the genealogy, found in Matthew 1, wherein it says of the begats, and they're all singular until it comes to Judah, and it says, and Judah begat Phares and Zara of Tamar. Why two? God's telling a story. I'll throw another little mystery at you. The Gospel of Matthew, 16th chapter, 14th verse, Jesus has just asked his disciples, who say ye that I am? Excuse me. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist. Well, I can understand that. That Herod had been professing that John the Baptist had been raised from the dead after he cut his head off. That's why they would say John the Baptist. Some say Elias, Elijah, for Elijah didn't die but was taken up into heaven. And others say Jeremias, or Jeremiah, as we would say, or one of the prophets. Why does it say Jeremiah? Because in Scripture, there is no record of Jeremiah's death. Jeremiah, trustee of the bankrupt nations of Judah and Israel. I was holding up a paper. I hope I didn't cover the microphone up too much. I hope you got that. I can't go back. We read those passages in Ezekiel where God says, bring down the high and exalt the low, and I will overturn no more till he who comes, whose right it is to rule. That's Jesus Christ and his second coming. And we see the overturn. And we see the destruction. And we see the throwing down of these bankrupt nations of Israel and Judah. And Jeremiah's appointment as trustee . He gets control of all the assets. There's a passage in Jeremiah where he says, God says, I'll lead you in a way that you know not. Now, I'm going to go into a little history. I do apologize. Because if we went to all the books wherein this history is being revealed, Well, we just don't have time. I am delivering to you that which I also received. I had one of the most outstanding Bible teachers in the history of the Christian church. His name was Dr. Gene Scott. And he probably spent 300 or 400 hours teaching on this subject that I am replaying for you in a much shorter version, Reader's Digest version, if you will. But this story of Jeremiah is fascinating. He's the trustee. He gets the assets. And in history of the Bible, Jeremiah disappears. Last we see of him is in Egypt. But it says, God's word says, he's going to have his life for a prey. He's going to live. He's going to do those things to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down these bankrupt nations. But he also has this job to build and to plant. About the same time, chronologically, that Jeremiah disappears from Scripture in Egypt, there's a prophet that is recognized in Irish Chronicles that shows up in Ireland with the daughter of a king. And Jeremiah, at the time in Scripture he disappears, has charge over his granddaughters, one named Tiatephai. She's known as the daughter of a king. This Irish Chronicle records this man, Olamfala, he's called. It means, that word means, hang on, I'm getting there. Olam means keeper of a secret thing. Fala means wonderful knowledge. In the Irish, it means revealer of knowledge. This Olam Fala, who I'm going to tell you without being cute anymore, is Jeremiah. He shows up with not only his granddaughter, daughter of Zedekiah, that verse, hang in here with me, I'm trying to do this best way I can. Hey, it's a lot of work. God's helped me a little bit. Oh, hang in here with me. I'll find it. In the 17th chapter of Ezekiel, I'll just read the verses. It says, thus saith the Lord God, I will take of the highest branch of the high cedar and will set it, and I will crop off the top of his young twigs as a tender one, and I will plant it upon a high mountain and eminent, and in the mountain of the height of Israel I will plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a godly cedar. Under it shall dwell all the fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof they shall dwell, and all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree and have exalted the low tree and have dried up even the green tree and have made the dry to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken it and done it. Now, what's he talking about here? When Nebuchadnezzar puts out the eyes of Zedekiah and kills, before he puts out his eyes, he kills his sons in front of him. He thinks he's wiped out the line of Pharaoh, the line of David. But the scripture tells us that if there is no man to inherit, then the woman has the right. And what God is saying here, he says, I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one, a woman, Tiatephi, and I will plant it upon the high mountain and eminent. In the mountains of the height of Israel will I plant it. I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, Pharaoh's, and I have exalted the low tree, Zara. I, the Lord, have spoken it and have done it. And we see this Olam Fala come to Ireland, and he's got some of the assets, including the line of David through Zedekiah into Tiatephi. And he comes also with a rock. Who some call Jacob's pillar or Leophel, stone of destiny. And Jeremiah weds Tiatephi, daughter of Zedekiah, daughter of David, to the high king of Ireland, son of Zara, named Equid Aramon. And for the wedding, he demands land and sets up in Ireland called the School of the Prophets. The name of the place is called Tara, and in Hebrew there are no vowels. So if you say, you could say Torah, Tira, Tura. In the Irish, Tara. And Jeremiah then through the school of the prophets, through this place called Tara, he plants and begins to build. And you can read, excuse me, in Ireland, of this stone Leofail, of that which is called Jacob's pillar, that stone that Jacob laid down and had the dream of the ladders and the angels going up and down. And he blessed the place and he blessed the stone. And God acknowledged that he was the God of that stone. That was so precious to Jacob that it became a family heirloom. And even as Jacob and his family goes down to Israel, and 400 years later when they come out, they still have that stone. And when they're in the desert, and God says to Moses, go strike the rock. He didn't say, go strike a rock. He said, go strike the rock. And Moses struck it, and water came out, and it fed 2.5 to 3.25 million people and all their livestock. And a second time, God says to Moses, go speak to the rock. And water flourished again. But I'm not going into that story. We're talking about the rock. And you can read in Kings and Chronicles of the kings being crowned on the rock, on the pillar. And this stone, this pillar, this stone of destiny, this which is called Jacob's pillar, comes with Jeremiah to Ireland. And in Ireland, as time goes by, this is about the end of the 6th, beginning of the end of the 7th, beginning of the 6th century in Ireland. And this stone gets a reputation. It has power. 2nd century AD, Fergus of Scotland goes to war with Ireland, knowing the power of this stone. He not only defeats the Irish, but he captures the stone and he takes the stone to Scotland. And in the 11th century, war breaks out between England and Scotland, and the English know they'll never reign over the Scots unless they have this stone, and they capture the stone, and that stone today, when Charles is coronated, will be underneath the coronation stone, and I have been blessed enough to see that stone. And it has marks where iron rings were in that stone, where because it was carried, it was precious from the time Jacob laid his head on that stone. And from Israel to Ireland is overturned once, and from Ireland to Scotland is overturned twice, and from Scotland to England it is overturned 3 times. Now, maybe if God is kind to you, your ears have heard, maybe your eyes will see a little bit of this part of the story of God's faithfulness. God hides things, you know, but he also gives pastors for knowledge and understanding. And it is the heart of this pastor that you begin to understand God's faithfulness in the earth that can be seen, for when circumstance comes to try our faith, in spite of circumstance, we can reach up and grab hold of that promise that pertains unto us by faith. And with that faith, it is pleasing to God, our Father. Father, understand the meaning and relationship of that name, Father. And God willing, we will continue next time with this incredible story of God's faithfulness. But for now, that's the God School for today.